Greetings, everyone. It is now time for Marked Safe. Tales of your very favorite and most beloved disasters. On Marked Safe, we discuss events and details that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Please listen responsibly and stay safe. And now, here with your hosts, Brianne and Melanie, this is Marked Safe.
Hello.
Hi, buddy.
It's been a while.
This is a song since I could hold my head up high. If you know, you know. It has. Yeah, I got COVID. That cough of my girlfriend's was not just a cough, it turned out. And I got it too, and it took out my voice for a week. But
oh, I forgot that we were talking about her laying
that,
down.
That turned out to be COVID.
It's the worst.
Yeah, you guys didn't want to hear me last week. It wasn't pretty. I sounded like a bullfrog, to be honest.
I swear, like, the holiday illnesses have been so bad. Like, I thought we were in the clear because we went through the flu. We had a stomach bug a while back. We went through strep throat. And then this week, Josie, like, missed the last day of school because he had, like, some random headache and vomiting. I'm just like,
poor
I'm done.
Are you ready? Are you wrapped? Are you prepared?
No, I'm not. No. The joys of having a large family.
I mean, I have one child and I haven't wrapped, so it could just be the joys of poor time management for me. But for you, you do have a reason.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Like, I'm not even done shopping. Mm. Like, it's very, very stressful. And then it's like, this year is so weird. I know we talked about this the other day, but there's like no new hot toy or everything is just kind of like the same repackaged stuff.
Yeah.
And with having so many kids, they all want different things, but they wind up playing with the same stuff.
Yes.
And so like.
So each kid's been exposed to 5 kids worth of holiday toys.
Yeah. And so like the toy market is like tapped out. Mm-hmm. And then I have a 10-year-old who is in just this awkward stage where she's doesn't want a whole lot of toys, is too young for like the tween stuff. And it's like, I mean, she asked for a fucking tea kettle for her birthday, you know, which
she's an old soul though.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, Adelaide's kind of at that awkward juncture. Not quite a teen, but too big for little kid stuff point too.
I don't know. I'm ready for the new year. I'm ready just to have this holiday season. And you know what? This is like the first year, because normally it's like after October, like take down the decorations, Christmas trees up. Did that this year. Got the lights and the garland on. My tree has no ornaments because we got to the balls and Squonk just takes them off and launches them. So we decided this year we're going to wait to the day before. We'll put a couple soft ornaments up, the angel up.
Squonk's got a squonk.
But, whew, man, he is a handful lately. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. It's not feeling very Christmassy. It's just feeling like a burden.
Yeah, and I just said that to someone a little while ago, that my girlfriend's out of town visiting family for Christmas, and she'll be gone through Christmas, and Adelaide is with her dad right at the moment, and it's a little lonely, but also nice to not have to perform Christmas at the moment, because I'm not going to lie, I'm not feeling it right now.
Yeah, it's been a weird year.
Yeah, it has, and I just, you know, I kind of want to say that instead of just like a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, everybody, top of the show thing, because like, I know a lot's happened the last couple of years, and I personally don't feel very comfortable in spaces right now where I don't feel like my grief is invited with me.
Right.
So if it's rough for you, if you're grieving, if you're over it, if you've got family bullshit, if you've got kid bullshit, if you're broke, like so broke it's fucked up Christmas, if you're dealing with stuff, if Christmas is sucking for you, please sit with us. I'm not going to go so far as to say Christmas is full-blown sucking for me right now, but sit with us.
Yeah, it's the holiday blender.
Yes, it is the holiday blender. And friends, your grief is invited.
Yes. Well, should we jump into the nonsense bracket since we've been talking about nonsense anyways?
Absolutely, dude. I need this right now.
So this week it's Wigglers versus crayons.
Wigglers. Can you clarify?
Okay, they are those like little pouches of mysterious liquid.
Oh, those things that make you think about those little tubes?
The little tubes with the hole in the middle.
The tubes where we all learned how. Yeah, that one.
That one.
Okay. Wigglers are what now? Blue. No, I'm with you now. I love those things. They feel so sexual, but I love them.
Yeah.
They just feel dirty in both directions. They look dirty. No matter how you're engaging with it, it feels like you're engaging with something.
Yeah.
Just depends on which thing. Yeah, they're so fun, though. Okay, what was the other one?
Crayons.
What the hell? Wigglers. Wigglers. I love a good fidget. I love a good wiggler, and I love the fact that they all make us all feel just a little bit uncomfortable, even though they are completely innocent. I respect that.
It's me.
Yay! Is it dirty? Actually, no, not at all, but it feels really dirty.
It feels wrong.
Yeah, no, Wigglers. That's my brand, man.
It's a stocking stuffer idea.
If I'd seen one, I just got back from Target to buy stocking stuffers. If I'd seen one, I would have bought one.
I saw them at Walmart the other day.
They have, I don't know where you're going or what you still need to do, but I went to Target today and I went to the dollar spot and they just restocked. I've been there a million times this season. I've not seen this yet. They have these little fidget surprise boxes in all different colors, and it's like a blind box for a fidget, and it's actually really cute.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. No wigglers, though. Yeah.
We love our fidget stuff over here.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, same. We've got a whole big thing of it. Just all kinds of different sensory and fidget toys. We got a whole bin.
Oh my God. I saw a TikTok yesterday. It was so funny where this lady had like, you know, the plastic sandbox, like the outdoor sandbox, and she was turning it into like a sensory like play bin. And she did in October, like half of it was rice with like little plastic pumpkins. And then the other half she did, black beans with, little eyeballs and stuff like that. And someone had made a comment, like, be careful, your yard's going to be like full of beans. And she just posted an update in her yard. Literally has like all these black bean sprouts.
Oh my gosh. So, oh, that's chaotic.
It is chaotic. Chaotic good.
Chaotic beans.
Endless supply of beans for your sensory needs.
Oh, well, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We're bringing in part three, wrapping up our little Christmas series on recalled toys.
Ba-da-bum.
I see what I did on accident. It wasn't on purpose. And I am excited about this one is maybe the wrong word. I feel like I left a lot of the ones that I was most interested in for the last episode for some reason. And here we are. We are going to start with what I feel like we've all been waiting for, unless it's really just me that's been waiting for, the most notorious but non-fatal 90s nostalgia toy. Guess.
Oh, gosh.
What have I not covered that surely everyone's like, how are you not getting into this one?
I don't know.
Cabbage Patch lighters. Snack Time Kids. Lighters, Melanie!
Magnifying glasses.
No, Cabbage Patch Snack Time Kids.
Oh!
Every single week, my daughter asks me if I have done this one yet. Every single week, I tell her I'm saving it for last. So, let's talk about Cabbage Patch dolls. With their soft cloth bodies, molded plastic faces, and often yarn hair, Cabbage Patch dolls started out handmade and sold at small craft fairs in the southern United States. Which, honestly, it does match their aesthetic. That doesn't surprise me at all to learn that that's their origin story. I didn't really know that, but it tracks. But it's a style that I feel like could lose its excitement with kids pretty easily. but a guy named Xavier Roberts came up with a story about a boy named Xavier, because he wanted to insert himself into the story, like he was really set on making that happen, who followed a creature called a bunny bee. And I don't know how to describe that creature other than to say that it somehow, improbably enough, looks like a mix of those two creatures. Anyway, he followed a bunny bee through a tunnel into an enchanted cabbage patch where babies slash young kids were grown out of cabbages, and he promised to find homes for them all, lest they be forced to work in the gold mines at the hands of a villainous criminal couple. That was Cabbage Patch lore. So a guy named Roger purchased the rights to them and took the idea mainstream. Cabbage Patch Dolls hit the market in 1982, and they had the market in a chokehold when Gen X kids were growing up.
Yep.
You too?
That's me.
Yay, me too, because they kind of came back for my generation, but there was a little lull in the middle there.
My mom got me a Cabbage Patch when they were first released. That was part of that mania.
Yeah, there was some definite mania. My first doll was a Cabbage Patch baby named Dee Dee, which was short for Deirdre. Definitely, I think, part of the gimmick of Cabbage Patches was that they came with birth certificates, and they had these very particular sort of names. Like, they really... Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to describe it if you don't know about Cabbage Patch names. It was like Deirdre, Xavier, things like that. And it was a first and middle name, and it was just like a very, it wasn't like Sally or something. Like, it was kind of a unique name. And I mean, I don't know if they duplicated names, did they?
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know if they did or I don't know if they just did, but it definitely wasn't like a lot of them will have like five different dolls in the line and you get one of the five. If they duplicated names, they did it so infrequently that little me didn't even realize. I thought they were all unique. I'm not sure which it actually was. According to Wikipedia, quote, the doll brand set every toy industry sales record for 3 years running and was one of the most popular lines of children's licensed products in the 1980s and has become one of the longest running doll franchises in the United States. For a while, they got so popular that there were multiple physical fights and riots in stores, which it sounds like maybe your mom may have been a part of.
Yeah, my mom was offered $500.
Oh my God.
For my Cabbage Patch that was released. And it's funny, I don't remember the name of mine. I remember what she looks like. She had long red, the yarn hair in pigtails. I do remember, I don't know if they still do this anymore, but they had the Xavier signature on the butt.
Yes, I think they all did. I think they all still do.
So weird to me.
It kind of is. I never really thought about it when I was younger, but it's sort of strange. The stores couldn't keep them restocked fast enough, but as keyed up as people were for a while, they did have kind of weird looking faces with enormous cheeks, abnormally close set eyes that suggest that they're predators. Most of the manufacturers that they had been shopped to initially passed on buying them because they were just too ugly. Nobody wanted to manufacture them. And they didn't really do anything. So the enthusiasm kind of trailed off by the early 90s until industry giant Mattel bought the brand in 1994. They were absolutely hyped to be the engine that brought this stalled toy back to its former popularity. My absolute introduction as a person into being fascinated by the entire concept of recalled toys, probably at least in part because I couldn't have been any more the target demographic for this. They were peak popularity the Christmas I was 8, when 2 years after Mattel's purchase of the brand, they rolled out a doll with a super fun new gimmick. They could actually eat. Their faces and their mouths, instead of the normal hard plastic, were made of sort of a rubbery material. And underneath it, inside the mouth, were one-way rollers that went down the throat. The dolls came with some plastic snacks. I think I remember a crinkle fry, a carrot, maybe like
peas?
Maybe a sugar wafer cookie. I feel like it was all like long stick kind of stuff, but I don't know. Some other stuff. And when you introduce the snacks to their mouths, the grippy rubbery material combined with the rollers pulled the food into the doll's mouth. There, it went down a similarly designed track, and it was deposited in the doll's backpack for future reuse. They were an immediate hit. They sold over 700,000 units in their first 4 months on the market. Unfortunately, the rollers didn't really care what was in the doll's mouth, even if it was a finger or hair. Just 3 days after Christmas, Snack Time Kids were in the news because a 7-year-old girl named Sarah had gotten her hair snagged in the doll's mouth, and it had taken 3 adults half an hour to unscrew the doll's 20 screws and dismantle it to free her. Oof. Yeah. Mattel was basically like, damn, that's crazy, though. We haven't heard about this happening anywhere else. 3 days later, Mattel had gotten 35 reports of kids getting hurt in that manner. One little boy saw his sister get her hair caught and said, I thought she was playing, but she was screaming, running all over the place. So my father grabbed her, and he pulled the doll, and the doll had her hair caught, and it kept pulling and pulling.
So that is horrifying. Right?
I know. I feel like the urban legend is that it scalped some kids. It didn't, at least not that I can find, but that is still horrifying. A South Carolina mother said about her 3-year-old daughter, when I picked Carly up, the doll was attached to the back of her head. It kept rolling her hair inside the head. It pulled her hair from the root. She is completely bald all the way down the back of her head.
Oh.
Yeah. They didn't want to recall it, though, because there was an easy fix, which it pisses me off when they do this, when they issue a fix and they're like, yeah, if you basically break it so it doesn't fulfill its function anymore, it's fine. Their fix, they said if you remove the doll's backpack, it stopped the mechanical mouths from operating because the backpack is where the batteries were. And that's fine, but that's the point of the doll.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. That having done 3 of these episodes now, oh, it pisses me off when they do that. I mean, I understand that technically you could stop the problem far faster than taking the 20 screws out. People didn't know that. I get it. But, like, it's not a functional product anymore. It's not doing what it was designed to do. And you're just like, well, just, you know, make it non-operational. That'll fix it. No, come on. So CPSC issued a statement that said, Mattel will put labels on all the dolls still on store shelves and on all future production. The information will warn that long hair and fingers can get caught in the doll's mouth and will tell consumers that the doll's chewing action can be stopped immediately by removing the backpack where the batteries were stored. The doll will not operate without the backpack in place. That's the point, though. The doll won't operate. I just think it's insulting to customers, personally. 1 week later, the incident list had risen to 100, and Mattel announced that they would be discontinuing the dolls, offering a $40 refund to anyone who had bought one, and issuing a voluntary recall. Which, I mean, I will give them, this whole thing unfolded very quickly, and the bullshit phase of things was very short and not overly harmful. So I don't want to come down on them too hard for this, because ultimately they actually handled it pretty well, but come on. I just wish companies would stop the "we'll just break it" thing. The LA Times said that the total recall was the largest step that Mattel had ever taken to withdraw a toy from the market. And their chief executive said, quote, "Our job is to bring joy to children's lives. If any of our products are causing concerns, we are committed to responding in a responsible manner." Honestly, that's all any of them need to say.
Yeah.
Just say that. Be done.
That's perfect. Yep. So many people should take notes.
Yes, exactly. And that is what I put in the notes after this, which was, it says, I think other companies could stand to work from this playbook when their product needs recalled. Whole thing played out over less than a month. They didn't do the ongoing gaslighting that we tend to see in recalls. Didn't love their very, very, very initial response, but I will let that go because that statement is perfect. We make toys. That's not what toys are for. If our toys are stressing people out, fuck the toy. Simple as that. Yep. It should always be that easy. Good job, Mattel.
Oh, Cabbage Patch. My neighbor, when I was in high school, you know, like the Saturday morning cartoons locally, usually they'll do like giveaways and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My neighbor Holly actually won a Cabbage Patch doll for every day of the year. 365 Cabbage
Patch dolls. That's a lot of Cabbage Patch dolls. What'd she do with them?
Well, we would go to her house. Like, they basically, I want to say I can't remember. It's been so long. I think they sent them like bulk, like weekly, maybe every couple weeks.
That's too many. I feel like nobody wants that many.
It was, they had like
that, like that creates a problem in your life.
There were so 365 fucking Cabbage Patch. Oh my god,
that's too many. I mean, I guess now that wouldn't be as bad because you could put them on Marketplace or something more easily, but that's a that's a problematic number of Cabbage Patches.
I know they got rid of some. I think they donated some, sold some. I think she kept her, like, still quite a few. I wonder if she still has them.
Man, that's a good story.
I gotta reach out. Yeah, but I just remember thinking, like, why didn't that shit happen to me?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know that I want 365 of many things.
I do. I don't even care.
Fair enough. I mean, I would now. I'd put those suckers on Marketplace, but... Okay, I'm glad we got our laughs in because this next one is horrible, and I would very strongly suggest that you check your content warnings. I will say that no one dies, but I do think it's the most upsetting recall toy thing I've done. This one is kind of similar to yo-yo water balls and lawn darts in the sense that they were just ubiquitous. It wasn't one model or brand of something that was a problem, like an Easy Bake Oven or Snack Time Kid. It was the whole concept of the toy, which was dive sticks. Are you familiar with this story at all?
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry. There are tons of toys designed to sink to the bottoms of pools for kids to dive down and retrieve. And basic water safety guidelines aside, that's not a problem. But dive sticks were. The CPSC described them like this. These dive sticks have been sold at grocery, drug, pool, and discount department stores nationwide for about $4 to $7 per set under numerous brand names, most of which do not appear on the dive stick itself. And that was kind of what made the problem come to light. They had existed for a long time, but they were normally sold at pool specialty stores, which were generally being patronized by owners of in-ground pools for use in in-ground pools.
Right.
Somewhere in the 90s, Walmart started carrying them, bringing them to a vastly wider audience of customers, including parents just scooping up some cheap water toys for shallow kiddie pools while they were at the store. It's hard to say when exactly they appeared on the market, but at least by 1999, they were causing some unspeakable problems. And this feels like one where no one thought of what could go wrong, because this is a scenario that we would all prefer not to even imagine as a possibility. And I'm going to quote the CPSC on it because their language gets the issue across while staying very clinical, which you will want it to. Quote, CPSC knows of 6 impalement injuries and 1 facial injury to children 6 to 9 years old. Although the number of reported incidents is relatively low, the severity of the injuries that have occurred is very significant. 3 of the children suffered rectal and 3 suffered vaginal impalements from dive sticks placed in backyard pools or, in one case, a hot tub. In 4 of the 6 incidents, the injuries that occurred required surgery and hospitalization.
What?
So that's... Yeah. Problem was that they were weighted to rest upright on the flat bottom of a pool with one side weighted and the rest floating up. So if it's a shallow kiddie pool, think about it.
You're jumping
when in. When kids jump or they fall, it's straight down their bottoms a lot of the time.
Fuck.
Yeah. I would never have thought of that. Ever.
No.
And I wouldn't have thought that even if they did, that they would just, right, just, but they do. I would have thought it would maybe slide to the side or get knocked to the side or not do that, but it does that.
That's horrific.
It is unimaginable. And I was, I'm just going to say, deciding what details to include or not include was difficult. Mother of a 3-year-old named Marcus and the attorney representing their family said he slid into the pool on the slide and he landed on it and it went into his rectum. He suffered a rectal impalement of about 1.5 inches, and he had open abdominal surgery with a colostomy.
Oh, that poor baby.
Yeah. In 1998, a little girl in Florida had her 6th birthday party in her backyard. Somebody threw some toys into an inflatable kiddie pool, and shortly thereafter, Sherilyn, her mom, heard what she described as a blood-curdling scream from her daughter in the pool. The little girl's dad pulled her out and said, "Honey, she's bleeding." She was rushed to the hospital and went through a 2-hour emergency surgery to save her life as the damage had barely missed a major artery. I would assume probably the femoral artery because it's right there, but I don't know.
Yeah.
They weren't intended to be used in shallow pools, and I get that, but show me one family that doesn't have their water toys more or less stored together.
Right.
And this is just not where your mind would even go, even if you were evaluating whether a toy. I never would have. Mine would never go there. I mean, yeah, I get that you can say, well, but families do put the toys in one place and they just throw them in there. You could say, well, they shouldn't. Toys should be assessed individually for safety. My God, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, because it sounds like a freak accident, but it's not a freak accident if, like, multiple...
Yeah.
It's happening to multiple children.
Yes, exactly. In my opinion, this is one of those situations exactly like lawn darts, where it may be rare, and it may technically come from misuse of the product, but it is such a common and innocent way to misuse it. And the outcome is so absolutely horrific, any risk is too much. And I feel like this particularly is a topic where you wouldn't, your mind wouldn't go there.
Right.
I mean, you think about drowning, you think about choking, you think about burning, you think about kids getting cut or scraped or abraded in some way. Your mind is, it's trained to not go there because it's, it's so upsetting and it's so dark. You just wouldn't think of that. So the calls for a ban were fast and intense once this was publicized, and the companies tried to balk a little bit, but no matter how rare the injuries were, they were just too horrible to accept. As the CPSC worked on determining what action they would take, someone with the Washington Post interviewed the director, and the article says, Brown said she expects the commission to consider within a week a staff recommendations that dive sticks be permanently banned, making it illegal for anyone to make, import, or sell the product in the United States. The commission has banned only three products since 1988. So you know we think this is a very serious hazard. Mm-hmm. The CPSC ultimately banned them entirely. Like lawn darts, it was the entire damn concept that got thrown out because the risk, quote, appeared to be inherent to the product and not related to any specific model or manufacturer. The director said, if you've got these, throw them away, get rid of them. We've not had a lot of injuries, but the problem is the kinds of injuries that we've seen are horrendous. Yeah.
That's, wow.
Yeah. It just
never heard of that.
No,
never.
I hadn't either. And it just,
I know exactly what they are.
Yeah. There are dive sticks that aren't weighted and lay flat on the bottom of a pool and have like rounded ends so they cannot stand up like that. I don't think things like that are a problem. The problem seems to be ones that have a flat bottom, like some of them have like almost a rocket ship type base.
Right.
That's a problem. The ones that are weighted are certainly a problem. And I just, man, I just hate that story. Hate it. But I mean, it's that one. I included that, and I included a mild to moderate level of detail because I feel like if I never would have thought of that, probably a lot of people never would have thought of that. That thing's been recalled. But honestly, that type of injury is something that we should probably put on our little mental checklist of types of injuries that we're evaluating for when we're evaluating a toy.
Right.
Because I never would have thought of that, but there could be some other toy that would have the same issue. So I think that's one where we could use a little awareness.
Yeah, for sure.
So this was actually the opposite of a, well, what did you expect? It's a short story, but I'm fascinated by the ones where the problem is not obvious. But once you think of it, it's like, oh. And that is the Jibber Jabber. Do you remember that guy?
I don't remember the Jibber Jabber.
Really? Okay, Google him real quick because he's very odd looking.
Okay, let me put my readers on.
Okay, I will describe him, but I bet if you see him, you might recognize him.
Jibber Jabber? Mm-hmm. I like the name.
I saw the name and I was like, is that one? And it was, but it's been a while and I don't think they were overly popular in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know this person.
Okay, so do you know what groan tubes are?
No.
It's the things where, like, you move it and it makes that weird, like, sound, like you turn it upside down. Yeah. So the Jibber Jabber was basically a doll made of groan tubes for the neck, arms, and legs. Maybe it was just the neck. I think it was all of the limbs. Had a goofy face, with a big nose, tuft of red or blue hair, and with the proportions of the body and the facial expressions on the doll, I would personally say I think it's in no way styled to resemble a human baby. I would say that it looks like a little dude, a little guy.
It looks like a little punk rock troll.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I don't think anybody, but even trolls proportionately are a lot more baby-like than those.
Yeah.
Unsettlingly enough, though, the point of the toy was to grab it by the throat and shake it so that the whole thing would flop around in this really silly looking way and make that sound all over. But we were just starting to understand how shaken baby syndrome worked on a mainstream level when Jibber Jabber came out. And I mean, it had been discovered, I think, a few decades before that, but it was just kind of coming into the public parlance. And some people were concerned about the behavior that this could encourage in kids. So the initial solution, quote, "an insert in Jibber Jabber packaging explaining that while Jibber Jabber is for fun, a lethal form of child abuse involves shaking of babies. The pamphlet lists seven ways to react positively to a child rather than resorting to violence."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm not convinced that there was a huge problem here to begin with. I think that the manufacturer just kind of read the room. I don't think that there was ever an incident where it led to something like that, but I also don't think that if there was a huge problem, that insert would solve it. Like, if you're the kind of person who's going to get such fun out of shaking a Jibber Jabber that you go do it to a baby,
right.
I don't think that seven ways to react positively to a child's going to do it. It was re-emphasized as a stress relief toy for adults, with USA Today writing, "Wring its neck and shake it, and the doll emits squeaks and gurgles. Several executive toy testers said it reminded them of their employees."
Oh. Yeah,
right? But a doll made
HR.
For strangling. Right? A doll made for strangling. It was just a weird vibe overall. It was discontinued. It wasn't recalled, per se, but it was discontinued. I think I had one. I don't know for sure.
Oh my gosh, so, you have to find it.
Oh, I definitely wouldn't still, but I feel like I may have had one at one point when I was a kid. So another holy shit, I never would have thought that would be the problem thing. I don't think anyone would have thought this would be the thing. Bindies, also known as Aqua Dots. Do you know this?
I don't think I know that one either.
Dude,
are
this is
90s
wild.
Toys?
A lot of them. This one's not. This one's more recent. I didn't know about this one either till I did the episode. So on their own, they were such a cool concept. They were kind of comparable to perler beads.
Okay.
You get a little container with different colors of tiny beads separated out by color, and you arrange them in the design of your choice on a tray. Cool thing, though, is that when you sprayed them with water, they became adhesive to each other. And when they dried out, your creation was done, and you could pop it off of the tray intact. Pretty damn cute, actually. I would definitely probably have enjoyed that as a kid. Very creative, ingenious as a toy. Now, toys in this genre, don't look up spoilers about this, because I know you Googled what it looks like. Did you find out what
no,
it does?
No, I was looking at the pictures.
Okay, because this is wild.
They look like they still sell them.
Hold on. So, toys in this genre tend to have one of two problems if they're going to have a problem. It's either going to be choking or burning. But this used water, not heat, unlike most similar concepts, so what could go wrong? The beads were probably too small to even choke on. I mean, they're itty-bitty. They're, like, hardly bigger than Orbeez.
Right.
Like, uninflated Orbeez. So it should be fine. And they were a hit, especially in Australia, where they were Toy of the Year in 2007. Until kids do what kids do. And I really don't understand why they do this. I never did this as a kid. Neither did my kid, but it does happen all the time. Kids started eating the beads. Why? But they did. They didn't choke. They didn't get intestinal blockages, which is the other thing I would have worried about if I was really thinking this through. They didn't throw up. They fell into comas.
What?
Yeah. Initially, no one understood why. The CPSC released a statement. "The Aqua Dots recall is one of the most serious announced by CPSC in recent years. When we first announced the recall on Wednesday, we knew of two children who had fallen into non-responsive comas after ingesting the beads used with this arts and crafts toy. Since the recall was announced, we have learned of seven additional incidents, some involving children who had to be hospitalized. This is now being reported on the AP Wire. We urge all parents and caregivers who have this recalled toy to immediately take it away from children and ensure that no one else takes possession of it." Kids had weird symptoms in addition to just the comas, like seizures.
Wow.
What's your theory?
The chemical agent used to glue it together?
Well, it's just water, but maybe it's weirder than that, though. After investigating, it turned out that the product was designed to be made with one chemical, like in the patent with the original toy. But a Chinese producer had cut corners and used a very similar but less expensive chemical to produce a significantly cheaper version of the toy. Chemical in and of itself wasn't even the problem. The problem was that when it was swallowed, the body metabolized it into GHB. The kids had accidentally overdosed on date rape drugs.
Holy shit, Brianne.
Yes. It was something with the way the body metabolized that chemical. So it's not really even like they were like, wow, we're using an obviously shady chemical. It's just how the body turns into GHB.
Wow.
Yeah. The kids all recovered, but what? I mean, of all things. Then there was some concern that adults may start taking them intentionally.
Right.
And all in all, it was a mess. So they were recalled in 2007. But the concept has lived on in other safer versions. Aqua beads, Betos, and Pixos are all basically the same thing with normal ingredients. And in a lot of cases, coated in a bitter substance so kids won't want to swallow them. Which, as a sidebar, please know I'm not victim blaming children for this, but why do kids do that?
I have no fucking idea. It's the same with sticking shit in their nose and ears.
One of these girls was 10. And I'm God, I know that sounds very victim blaming, but I'm talking about kids as a whole, not that particular girl, because I know it's common and I don't get it. My kid has never in her life put something in her nose, ear, or swallowed something that was weird. And I didn't either. And I don't. Did you? Do your kids?
Yeah.
I'm not judging your kids, but why?
The intrusive thoughts. Aria, when was this? It was just a couple months ago. Was in the shower and saw my razor and didn't realize, like, I bathe alone, like, I shave my legs, like, they don't really know what it is, you know? And right. I had it sitting there and she touched it and she was like, it just looked like smooth. I didn't, like, she didn't realize it would cut her, and like, she cut her fingers on my razor.
Oh, no. Yeah, Adelaide tried to shave her face with a razor once because she had seen her dad doing the same thing. She tried to shave her upper lip with a razor when she was like 3. And that was a bloodbath. But she doesn't even have a scar from it somehow. But that was,
I've
tried to shave it sideways.
I've had to do an angel kiss twice. Once on Josie and the other on Abby with perler beads up the nose.
I did have to do that. I think it was my foster daughter, though. I don't remember what it was, but I had to do that once, and I learned it from you.
Yeah, it's.
Would you like to do a PSA on that real quick for anyone who doesn't know? Because I definitely didn't know until you told me that that was that simple.
Yeah, so basically your kid sticks like a bead or a perler bead or something small up their nose. The first reaction you want to like try to pull it out. Usually what's going to happen is it's going to get shoved up in there even further, so don't do that. You can save yourself an ER trip by blocking the nostril that's not plugged and basically giving them like a mouth to mouth. You just breathe really hard into their mouth. It's weird, it's awkward.
It flies right out.
It flies right out with boogers and everything else. You're gonna get messy. There'll be boogers everywhere.
But you're going to save an ER copay.
Yes, you are. And I've had to do that twice now. And it is because it's scary because they panic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, so angel kiss, guys.
Yes,
keep that one legit in your pocket. It works.
It is legit. Take that from Melanie. That is good advice. So this week's, well, duh, what did you expect entry from the masterminds behind the kids' glass blowing kit that we covered in, I think, the first one of these? We get 1950s Gilbert U-238 Atomic Energy Lab.
I'm really excited.
It's a short one. Honestly, there's not a lot to say about it because you'll see why, but it looked straight out of Fallout and it sold for an astronomical $49.50, which is $6.46 in today's money.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's a lot. It came with 4 different kinds of uranium-bearing ore, a radiation counter, and a Dagwood comic called Learn How Dagwood Splits the Atom, co-written by the director of the Manhattan Project.
Radium babies.
Yes. Its inventor, a chaotic man, pole vaulter, and magician named Alfred, took toys seriously, believing that they built, in his words, solid American character, and writing in his autobiography that it was the most spectacular of his toy lineup.
How does one become a pole vaulter and a magician?
Ask Alfred.
He literally is the jack of all trades.
All of them. Some of them he shouldn't have been. Chaotic men often have many interests, I've found. They're Renaissance men, if nothing else. The instructions included said, quote, "There has been so much misinformation about radioactivity that we pause here to reassure you and your parents that the radioactive sources supplied to you are not dangerous in any way. They have been carefully designed by some of the nation's top scientists to be instructive and harmless. We assure you that no harm will come to you through daily contact with the radioactive sources supplied with your atomic energy lab." End quote.
Oh.
This is fine.
Nothing could go wrong.
I can't even say if anything did go wrong, really. They were pulled in their second year on the market, but only because they were so expensive that only 5,000 units sold. It was nothing to do with safety. For the price that it was, you're not going to give your kid radiation poisoning unless you were willing to break off some serious change to do so. But the target demographic was boys who would be like 85 now, so I'm sure it's the reason somebody's papaw is like that. And last but not least, here are a few assorted tidbits that I have found over the course of these three episodes that didn't fit in anywhere, but they needed to reach a greater audience, and I needed to tell you about them. One being, some power wheels were recalled in 2001 because they overheated and burned some kids' legs. Sometimes they wouldn't stop. They caught fire now and then, causing $300,000 worth of damage to various houses and garages, which would be $517,000 in today's money and $975 trillion in today's home values.
Wow.
There wasn't much story to it but beyond that, but in the course of discovering that, I found that in this very year of our Lord, 2023, in my very own state, just 2 hours away in Vincennes, a man named John got pissed drunk as well as high on meth and set out on a little errand in the safest way he could probably think of at the time, or maybe the only way he could think of at the time, driving a Power Wheels Jeep. Yeah, unfortunately, he did not first make a trip to the store for some reflectors, which is oddly the only thing that apparently got him pulled over in his Power Wheels Jeep. Needless to say, he flunked his field sobriety test, and he did get arrested. His Power Wheels catching fire would have probably been the least of his problems.
Could you imagine getting a DUI in a Power Wheel?
I mean, I don't know if that would be... Part of me is like, that's the proudest moment of my life because, you know, I'll do shit for the story. Part of me is like, yeah, he was drunk and on meth, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Yeah. So pour one out for John. He poured a few out for himself, it sounds like. A lot of banned toy lists mention Furbies, but after a little bit of investigation, it turns out that's a little misleading. They were never recalled, but the NSA specifically got all freaked out in 1999 that Furbies were going to be in their recording national secrets. A memo was sent out to employees saying, I told Adelaide about this and she cracked up. A memo was sent out to employees saying, we are prohibited from introducing these items into NSA spaces. Those who have should contact their staff security office for guidance, which is just, wow, pretty dramatic.
That is super dramatic.
Yeah. Well, like, why did they feel like a Furby infestation inside the NSA was a problem they were going to have? Because there have always been a variety of toys that record and repeat short phrases. They are not the only one. Like, this is a problem for Furbies, but my kid has a bunch of little live pet birds. They do the same thing.
There's something about a Furby that's so sinister,
They were
though.
Creepy. I know. I really think so. Like, honestly, you don't hear about this kind of thing now. And those birds, they record things and they repeat things. I know this because I have to say things to them while I'm cooking dinner all the time. Video Girl Barbie was banned for the possibility that they could record inappropriate content of kids, which that's valid.
Yes.
But digital cameras made for toddlers have existed for years, if not decades.
Right.
Like, what? So it's always inconsistent, but pretty much everything about the NSA story, like, it just makes me think about the corporate Mattel Bros in the Barbie movie, like, frantically trying to cover up a toy situation that the general public would not be prepared for. Furbies have taken over the NSA.
What do you think about the rebranding of Furby? Have you seen them?
Kinda, sorta.
Avoiding them?
I mean, my kid hasn't been overly interested in them, so I haven't really paid attention to it, but I think I've seen that they're doing something.
Yeah.
I don't know. And my last random tidbit for you is that Garbage Pail Kids were produced very much without the blessing of Xavier Roberts, the Cabbage Patch guy.
I did know that.
He lost a copyright infringement lawsuit.
I love the Garbage Patch Garbage Pail Kids. Did you watch the movie?
I hated Garbage Pail Kids when I was a kid.
Oh, I loved the movie.
No, I was not about that vibe at all. I was a very innocent little child. That whole, like, it's a theme. Like, that's definitely a thing I feel like a lot of, like, 12 to 15-year-olds are very into something that sort of corrupts a childhood toy and makes it darker and meaner and bad. I don't know. I didn't ever go through that.
What was that one? I love that one. Upchuck.
Upchuck, of course you do. Yeah, I would have been grossed out by that as a kid. Those, like, they actually annoyed me as a child. I remember seeing those and being like, can you not? Cabbage Patch is not about this. And now I know it really wasn't, so I feel a little validated.
Oh, that was amazing.
It's been a journey with these three, but honestly, I've enjoyed it.
I've really enjoyed this series. It's funny. Josie got, they do little green ticket prizes. They get, at school, they'll get green tickets for, like, they do a good deed. If they tell the janitor or cafeteria lady a joke that they've never heard, stuff like that, like, they just get passed around. And Josie got, it's like a ball of water, one of those squishy balls with not like with the slingy thing, like you said, but it has like a net around it. So when you push it, like it just kind of goes through the netting. And Cody walked in. He's like, didn't Brianne just tell you about this?
I love that you tell him this stuff. Yes, I did. And you should heed my warning. Somebody should. Gosh.
Well, should we do some disaster relief?
Let's do it.
Well, I'll go first if you want, since you've been chatting it up. Mine is going to be 4-H. So we've kind of, I think I've talked about this a little bit before. Ava just started 4-H. They started here in fourth grade. And she chose, like, all of the other stuff had filled up, so it was very limited. But she was really drawn to archery, and she just started. She's had two sessions at the range so far, and she is completely obsessed with it. And I think it's so cool.
That is so cool.
So, yeah, we're
good. I love it when my kid turns out to be cool, you know?
Yeah, I'm like...
Like, I love being her mom no matter what, but sometimes I look at her and I'm just like, dude, that would be your friend.
Yeah.
You're like, cool.
But I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's really cool, like, you know, looking back the way I was raised and how I grew up and the opportunities that were given to me and being able to... kind of like break the cycle where it's like, no, you can't do that because we don't want to go out in public to see how we live, like that type of thing, to like let my kid like actually try new things. Like, you never know like what their thing's gonna be. And it's been really cool watching her. And you know, Cody's taken her a couple times. He's like sent me videos back, and she's really freaking good at it. And, you know, I was shocked because the sessions are like 2 hours long. And, you know, they'll be like, do you want a break? Eat a snack, drink some water. And she's just up there the whole time. Like, she is nonstop. Like, she doesn't want a break from it. She just wants to keep going. So it's just really cool to see, like, new special interest in kids.
Yeah, I love that. You're such a good mom.
I'm okay.
No, I don't receive that. I understand that you like to be modest and brush it off, but you are probably the best mom I know.
Oh, I love you. What's yours?
I love you. Okay, so mine is, have you heard of, I guess I've never actually heard anyone else say her name out loud, so I could be wrong about how this is even pronounced. Have you heard of Taela, the artist, the singer?
No. But
T-A-E-L-A.
Yeah, I'm like familiar with it because of you.
Okay. So I've liked a couple of her songs here and there, but I don't I don't know. I don't really tend to follow individual artists a whole lot. Like, there's maybe five, but I don't really... I'm not a fan of a whole lot of specific singers where I'm like, damn, everything you make, I like it. I just like individual here and there, whatever. But I have liked a couple of her songs, and then I really, really liked one from her album called Life's a Bitch, But It Gets Better. And then I was like, I heard another and I liked it too, like a lot. And I thought, maybe I should listen to this whole album. So I did. And I love almost every single one.
That is the best when that happens. When yes, it's the whole, like the whole catalog is just.
Winner after winner. Yes. So I would highly recommend Taylor's Life's a Bitch, But It Gets Better album. Definitely. I think the best ones on there are Trophy, Bleachers, Mad Hoes, and I Don't Cry When I'm High. She's good. She's really good. And Not My Problem is also lit. Unforgivable's also lit. The whole album is lit. I'm going to go listen to it again as soon as we stop recording.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to have to check it out for sure.
Yeah, you should.
I need to switch it up. We've been...
Yes.
It's been the same songs here lately, so, which I don't normally have a problem with.
Yeah, I've been
in
kind of
a
music rut. Yeah. So, which reminds me, if anybody would like to, I don't know, start a thread, make some recommendations, other than these songs, I have felt like I'm over every single song that I normally listen to, and music is really super important to me, so I am kind of looking for some earworms right now, just things that are gonna make it onto my Spotify on repeat real quick, because I'm gonna want to replay it.
Yeah, we should make a post in Horrible Ghoul, so you guys can throw some stuff up for us.
Yes, definitely. I would love that. Shake up my playlist.
Some wrapping paper music.
Yes, that would be amazing. But God, please make a separate thread if it's going to be Christmas music or I will leave the group. I don't care. You people can have that. I will tolerate it at best. All right. On that note, I think we should go wrap presents.
Yes.
And I think I should edit this episode for other people to wrap presents, too.
Yeah. Until then, sweet dreams or no dreams.
Sweet dreams or no dreams.
Hey, Horrible Ghouls. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to share your personal MarkSafe moment, you can send it to us at MarkSafePodcast@gmail.com. Please give our podcast a rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your buddies about us too. That goes a long way. If you want to further elevate your support, check out our MarkSafe Patreon page, where we have shoutouts, goodies, and some bonus content in the works. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again, and as always, stay safe.